That confusion about U.S. policy in Syria, it's about this.
We have won against ISIS. We've beaten them, and we've beaten them badly. We've taken back the land, and now it's time for our troops to come back home.
Straightforward enough, straight from the commander-in-chief. But since then, administration officials have walked that promise back. Whatever the Trump administration decides, it could have huge implications for the Kurds, some of the most important U.S. allies in the region. Dr. Najmuddin Karim is the president of the Washington Kurdish Institute. He's in Erbil in northern Iraq.
The Kurds are really dismayed. And first, when the withdrawal was announced by the president, the first word that came out of everybody's mouth was another betrayal, because we saw that in Afrin. We saw that during the referendum in Iraqi Kurdistan. We saw that in 1991, when the Kurds were told to rise up and get rid of this dictator. And then the Kurds were slaughtered, and 1.5 million people were in the mountains during the cold and snow. It reminds us of 1975, when the Kurds were abandoned to Saddam Hussein and to the Shah of Iran, and the Kurdish resistance ended. Hundreds of thousands, including myself, became refugees in Iran. My brother-in-law and my nephew were both killed during that attack by Saddam Hussein. Mm.
We don't know how this war in Syria is going to end, but it's pretty clear that Bashar al-Assad is going to remain in power in Syria with Russian and Iranian backing. I mean, what's your best guess as to the future for Kurds in Syria?
Well, I think the Kurds of Syria really have not asked to form an independent state or anything. The Kurds of Syria are asking for a democratic state where every community, not just the Kurds, the Christians, the Druze, the others, will have the civil rights and basic democratic rights. That's all they're asking for. And of course, the Kurds, who have been denied citizenship for decades in Syria, they want to be a full citizen of that country, enjoy their democratic rights, elect their representatives, be able to preserve their culture and their language. That's basically what the Kurds want.
I've heard that you are or were a neurosurgeon, correct?
Yes, I am. I'm still a neurosurgeon.
And you were the one who saved the life of White House Press Secretary James Brady in 1981 when he was shot in the attempted Reagan assassination?
The person who was in charge of that procedure was Dr. Arthur Cobrain. I was on the team, so we were involved.
Extraordinary day it was back in 1981.
Yes, it was.
You're obviously no stranger to White House events, but this is obviously not the same what's going on with the Kurds, and personal for you in a completely different way. Describe the U.S. Kurdish alliance at this point. Is it an alliance? Is it a friendship, or is it something else?
You know, I don't know what you call it. If U.S. representatives and goes meets with them, encourages them, even training them, providing them with weapons, with vehicles and everything to fight ISIS, maybe there is not a pact, a signed pact or something written and signed by the U.S. on this, but that's how it is done. I think it sends the wrong message, in addition to the fact that terrorism is not finished in those areas. And
well, I was going to ask you, because, I mean, as you well know, Donald Trump says that ISIS has been eliminated in Syria. We're now seeing the U.S. is still fighting ISIS in parts of Syria just this week. It sounds like ISIS is still a threat, despite what Trump has claimed.
ISIS is not finished, my friend. ISIS is alive, and it's there. It's there in Iraq, it's there in a lot of countries in Africa, in Afghanistan, in Yemen, it's there. ISIS is not finished, and by just declaring it, it's finished, mission accomplished, I think, is not accurate.
Dr. Najmuddin Karim, the president of the Washington Kurdish Institute, speaking with us from Erbil, the capital of the semi-autonomous Kurdistan region in northern Iraq. Thank you very much, Dr. Karim.
Thank you, Marco. Thank you very much, sir.